This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2213. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition recorded October 19th, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, Colombia, Cuba, East Turkestan, Eritrea, India, Indonesia, Israel, Kaliningrad, Mexico, New Zealand, North America, Peru, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Scotland, Taiwan, UAE, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. Upon Asilomar State Beach near Monterey, California, Reinhard reports an unusual occurrence on October 13th. Sound of Hope Taiwan was not on frequency 6230, allowing him to hear Australia Weather West VMW until closing at 1451 UT with this announcement. That's 6230 USB. Even more rare is this, a Brazilian shortwave station temporarily reactivated. From DX Fanzine, October 14th, via Paul Flanagan in the British DX Club, Radio Cultura Araraquara was planning to attempt transmission on 3365 this evening to check if the transmitter, which has been turned off for a while, is still working. That's between 21 and 02 UT. So I tuned in the Brasilia remote receiver and found it on 3365.077, between 2319 and 2339 UT. It sure didn't sound very cultural to me, although they did ID as Cultura FM. Lots of frenetic announcements, and they did mention Araraquara. Then I tuned in my own receiver October 15th at midnight 17, and was able to detect a just barely audible carrier on that offset frequency, 3365.1. I've seen no reports of it since then. As we reported last week, on October 9th, CBC Radio suddenly canceled the long-running National Research Council time signal, which went on their air every day at 1 p.m. local time, to the dismay of many Canadians. For the historical record, here's what it sounded like as recorded previously by Richard Langley in New Brunswick. It was from CBZF FM in Fredericton last February.
The National Research Council official time signal, the beginning of the long dash, indicates exactly 1 o'clock Atlantic Standard Time.
This is CBC News. Good afternoon. I'm Danielle Edwards. Here's what's making news this hour.
In the NASA flash sheet, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois reports on 7345, Radio the Great Bay, or the CNR 7 program from China via Wahot in Cantonese, on the 12th of October at 1155, with news and remote spots. He says if the pattern from past season holds, this one will on some days fade down as the local morning proceeds in central USA and be replaced briefly by Tazin Radio in Myanmar. Fire Dragon or Fire Drake jamming is often miscalled Chinese opera, but that's impossible since by definition opera means vocal music and this is not. However, I was hearing real Chinese opera on 11820, Sunday, October 15th at midnight 23 until fading about midnight 40. I thought it was Mandarin, but listed as Cantonese from CRI this hour, to Southeast Asia from the Shenyang 59 site. The irregular Colombian on 6016.7 AM, presumably a pirate, Organización Radial El Prado, is reported by Lucas Bandura in British Columbia, on the air S9+10 into the Bonaire remote receiver, October 16th at 0247. It had been quite a while since I found Radio Vanacuba on an overtime frequency after 06 UT, but there it was October 19th at 0654 in Spanish on 9600. That frequency is missing from AUKI, ITU, and HFCC, of course, but IB does show it in Spanish to South America, but only at midnight until 05 UT. Something's always wrong at RHC. Via Kashgar, East Turkestan, land of imperialist Chaikom genocide against Uyghurs and other Muslims, on 9880, October 15th at 2212, I was hearing the Esperanto language. So it's China Radio International as scheduled. Note that it's only commies who speak Esperanto on shortwave, along with Cuba. What would Zamenhof say? He died on 14 April 1917, just missing the Bolshevik Revolutia. As far as I know, not one gospel huckster uses Esperanto. The audience would be too smart. Clandestine for Eritrea, Paul Walker in Alaska reports Radio Eresat on 11680. Scheduled at 18 to 1830 on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday via Madagascar. But something was still on the air after 1830 on this occasion. What could it have been? It may have been a different language. Eresat itself is scheduled in Tigrinya. Alan Rowe in England says, I'm listening to a program in English from Akashvani or AIR, India. 17 October from TuneIn 1845 on 9620. Reminds me of the old days, but probably not a reintroduction of English to shortwave, but most likely a feed error. And in fact, at 1921, they suddenly switched from an interview in English to Arabic or some other music, as Bruce Churchill in California also noted. Arabic is scheduled at 1730 until 1930. On October 12th at 0546, Zaharis Yangas in Greece was listening via remote in Jakarta, Indonesia, noting that the bands between 9 and 11 megahertz is full of two-way communications. He called them hams, but surely they are not licensed. Lucas Bandura in BC replies, those are thousands of illegal operators in Southeast Asia, mostly Indonesia. Hard to say what the exact purpose is, but it seems HF-SSB is used more like long-distance CB. They heavily use some ham bands as well. And Zakliangas replies, from my short life in Nigeria, I remember individuals and companies used ham systems for communication due to problems in their wired telephone distribution system. Especially in the 90s, stealers were cutting telephone lines for their copper wires and selling them for recycling. The man I worked for there used a lower 9 megahertz band to communicate with his partner in Lagos. It's very possible this also happens in Indonesia. Individuals or companies preferring amateur-like systems over broken telco lines. Richard Langley in New Brunswick reports, during the 17 UT Live English News Hour from Khan Rekha in Israel on 12 October, presumably heard via webcast, there were multiple red alerts of potential rocket attacks interrupting the program. Some of the alerts turned out to be false alarms, but better a false alarm than missing an attack. And Robert Wilson in the UK replies, these get pushed to all of the Khan stations at the same time from Home Front Command. Most people in Israel have the HFC app installed on their phones, which gives out a siren sound whenever they need to take shelter. The app does not work outside Israel, but I found that the associated app, TZOFAR, works for me here in the UK. And actually, the alerts tend to come through a few seconds before they are broadcast on Khan. I have it installed here because I have relatives in Israel, says Robert Wilson. Via the medium wave circle, publicity from someone in Russia about a special test from Kaliningrad, that part of Russia that's not attached to the rest of it. October 16th, the radio center number 5. The transmitter RV372 had been off the air since 2014 on 1215 kHz. Now they're testing it with lower power on 549. This may have been for one day only, but they were very interested in listener reports. But DXer Bjarne Mjelde in Scandinavia says, count me out. On October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, checking 6200 before 07 UT, I've been getting a barely audible carrier, presumably the pirate Hikari FM in northwestern Mexico testing. Yes, Ron Howard replies to my reports. 6200, the pirate testing again, on AM. For a long time, I had not been hearing any Hikari FM signal, assumed he was having transmitter problems. On both October 15th and 16th, I heard an open carrier with a good signal strength, after 0450 UT. I sent an email to the operator inquiring if I was correct, that he was testing again, and here is his reply. Yes, I'm having problems with my amplitude modulator. I need an audio amplifier to modulate it. The previous modulator got very hot and it was very inefficient, which led to its failure. Right now, the setup is a modulation transformer, and I am building a Class E audio amplifier. This setup allowed me to step up the power a little. The carrier is on because I will be doing some testing, and pretty soon we'll be back on air with music, if all goes by plan. There is a lot of new music that will be coming, and another reformatting with now separate times for electronic music and another time for J-pop. Thanks very much for your support. Tony Pavic in BC caught RNZ Pacific on a new frequency as of October 7th, 17675. This was on October 10th, from 0407 to 0558. Sports reports and news headlines and so forth. I see on their How to Listen schedule that 17675 runs from midnight until 0558 UT. It's preceded by 15720 and proceeded by 11725. On October 17th at 0640, I had barely audible talk, probably a sermon, approximately 7300.09. That's the amateurish pirate heard before only on UT Sundays, but that was on a Tuesday. Rukas Bandura, NBC, replies, "Yes, he seems to be from the southeastern U.S. I hear him much more often than Sundays, but don't always log him. Since previous report, I've not heard another pirate on 7320, but Lucas says that one is probably quite close to me, but I don't think it's a ham." More reports of that new Peruvian, Radio Pitumarca, on 4930. Lucio Otavio Bobrovic in Brazil reports intensively via Radio Surandina in Peru, Sequani. On the 12th of October at 2251 to 2301, the best he's heard it so far. But on the 13th and 14th of October, it was off or inaudible. On October 16th at midnight 3, I had a barely audible carrier direct on the offset frequency for that 4930.6. So surely that's what I was getting. But nothing there at midnight 18 when I checked via the Bonaire remote. It may have already gone off. There are a few other Peruvian shortwaves still active. These reported by Rolfus W. Perry in Illinois in the NASA flash sheet. 4775 Radio Tarma at 10:04 UT, October 12th, fair with Huaynos. Or exactly 4810 Radio Logos, Chasuta. Tune in at 0940 on the 12th of October with mellow Spanish religious songs, ballad style with orchestral accompaniment. A poor to fair signal, not as good as last DX season. Very poor audibility in the AM mode due to horrendous whooshing wideband interference around the frequency. But he says, nicely audible when tuning in narrow bandwidth, 1.2 kHz and lower sideband. And another one from Ralph Perry, 4955, Radio Cultural Amalta in Huanta, Peru, also on the 12th of October, still active. Fair carrier at 1010, but only spottiest fragments of audio. Checked on the Mendoza, Argentina remote, able to confirm these guys are indeed still on the air. But a crappy signal received even there in Argentina. Hopefully it'll improve for the winter DX season. It used to be a daily morning regular along with Tarma and others. And some more Peru reports. These from Ron Howard in California, 4810. Tentative Radio Logos, October 18th at 0815 to 855, above average reception. He says, "I believe this is not normally heard with audio during this time period. Peruvian music and singing, and announcers perhaps preaching, cutting through the strong CODAR interference. Tentative IDs at 0830. And on 4820, Radio Senda Cristiana, the Christian Way Radio, October 18th, starting at 0900, weak signal, with choral national anthem. Assume an intro ID and into Peruvian and religious music. Station is operated by the Cotahuasi Ministry Center Project. A page of theirs also contains some nice pictures. It's QuechuaMissions.com/Peru-2. Quechua spelled Q-U-E-C-H-U-A. In the medium wave circle, Stig Hartvig Nielsen in Denmark reports a strange frequency alteration in Russia. Yesterday, October 17th, Vesti FM was on 1413 kHz. This morning, the 18th, on 1431.5, leaving the British stations on 1413 in the clear. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2213, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. One may contribute, not necessarily in U.S. funds, via PayPal to woradio@yahoo.com, or by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P. P.O. Box 1684, ENIDOK 73702, USA. But I also received a contribution with this unsolicited testimonial. Dear Mr. Hauser, thank you very much for your work for the community of shortwave enthusiasts. I really appreciate it. I listen to your broadcast every Saturday via the Astra satellite. I hope you can go on with World of Radio as long as you want to do it. Therefore, you find some U.S. dollars in this letter as my contribution. Greetings from the Grand Duchy to Oklahoma. Yours sincerely, Arnold Hylas in Heinerscheid, Luxembourg. David Cole refers us to a New York Times story of October 19th. Russia detains a U.S. journalist, Alsu Kurmasheva. I then find more about it at the RFERL website. They and the Committee to Protect Journalists call for the immediate release of a journalist detained in Russia. Alsu Kurmasheva is a dual U.S. and Russian citizen who lives in Prague with her husband and children. By the way, her name is spelled A-L-S-U, K-U-R-M-A-S-H-E-V-A. She was detained in Kazan, Russia, while awaiting the return of her passports on October 18th, charged with failure to register as a foreign agent, which carries a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison. She's a Prague-based journalist with RFERL's Tatar Bashkir service, who holds dual U.S. and Russian citizenship. She traveled to Russia for a family emergency in May. She was temporarily detained while waiting for her return flight on June 2nd at Kazan Airport, where she had her U.S. and Russian passports confiscated and was not able to leave Russia since then. She was initially fined for failing to register her U.S. passport with the Russian authorities, was waiting for her passport to be returned when the new charge was announced on October 18th. Acting president of RFERL, Jeffrey Gedman, says, Alsu is a highly respected colleague, devoted wife, and dedicated mother of two children. She needs to be released so she can return to her family immediately. CPJ says those are spurious criminal charges. Since 2012, Russia has used its so-called foreign agent laws to label and punish critics of government policies. Kurmasheva is the second U.S. journalist to be held in Russia after Wall Street Journal reporter Ivan Gershovich was arrested on espionage charges in March. In the daytime, we often hear a loud hum on 11860, interfering with Radio Marti, but it's not Cuban jamming in this case, although it may be there too. Instead, it's the Republic of Yemen radio transmitter in Saudi Arabia, which has been very out of order for months. They must be totally incompetent at the site, but which one is it in Saudi Arabia? Alki says Jeddah, IB says Riyadh, HFCC says nothing, WRTH update says Riyadh, so that's the winner. Perhaps Ed, the American Navy dude DXer who lives there, could clue them in. Zaharias Dangas in Greece reports a confusion situation regarding your pirates. On 6290, October 15th at 10:45, a music station heard with a strong signal via remote in the UK, a man talking DX on Radio Carousel. But is it Weekend Music Radio? Also on 6160, ahead of 6290, at 10:15, and Wild Kim on 6290, signed off at 11:51. But which is really Weekend Music Radio? Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener replies, that Scottish station, which provides a QSL, says 6160 is the regular station via shortwave radio in Germany. That's not a pirate. But 6290 is a regular relay by an unknown pirate station. WMR in Scotland regularly mentions this relay, but says they do not know who is behind it. See www.wmrscotland.com for the latest news. In his NASA flash sheet, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin reports on a collision on 9455 between WRMI and Nippon Nakase. That's originating in Japan for North Korea, transmitted via Taiwan. Nippon Nakase was well on top with a mellow piano ballad. WRMI underneath with preaching and a hymn, but fading up and down in strength while Nippon Nakase remained on top. He says unusual propagation conditions this morning. If audible at all, NNK is typically well under WRMI on this frequency. It would have been good and WRMI fair if either was alone. Together, they were a mess. October 13th at 15:03, I came across Arabic from BBC. Off frequency, 15310.118, as displayed by the remote in Holland. This is the UAE site, which is really sloppy in frequency accuracy, reflecting poorly on its clients. As for Arabic from BBC, it's only this semi-hour, 15 to 1530 for Sudan after canceling all its Arabic earlier. The 80th anniversary special from and about the Wolverton UK site we mentioned last week for October 17th at 1330 UT was widely heard on 15245 to the west and 17785 to the east. Someone recorded the entire thing and it's available on the web. A link to it appears in the World of Radio IO group. After hearing from Dave Porter and various other personnel at the station, the last 18 minutes of the hour were featuring interval signals and IDs of many other stations relayed via the Wolverton site over the years, including VOA, BBC, RCI, NHK, DW, RFERL, and RNW. Back on UT Sunday, August 27th at midnight to 01 on WRMI 5950, Texas Radio Shortwave presented recordings off WRNO Air by Mick Dummings in Alberta of two World of Radio editions from 1986, numbers 322 and 342. Almost complete, the second one slightly short due to time. Many thanks to Terry Colgan for this recognition. A few weeks later, TRSW suddenly suspended operations. I hope Terry is okay. I've not heard from him since. But now available, this nostalgia is broadcast on WRMI via my website. Go to worldofradio.com and the Our Current Audio page. About World of Radio scheduling on WRMI, sometimes a broadcast is missing, but that does not necessarily mean it's been permanently canceled. For example, UT Monday at midnight 30 on 7780 was missing 1 week, but back the following week. And UT Tuesday at midnight 30 on 9395 was missing this week, but Jeff White says sometimes these must be preempted for special programming, and they should both be back the following week. Ridiculing World's Last Chance Radio as flat earthers is still very much appropriate. I happen to run across them October 18th at 1511 on WBCQ 9330, when there was a pseudo-scientific discussion of how the Earth is flat, since looking at the stars surely confirms this. Polaris supposedly visible in the south, and the stars are very nearby in the firmament. On another occasion, I was checking how well the signal was getting into Europe, October 13th at 1523 on the Holland remote. I was hearing gospel music at 15 over 9, but it was way off frequency, 9329.930. In fact, that turned out to be in Korean. Voice of Wilderness via Tashkent, Uzbekistan, and BCQ was off the air at that time. WEWN, World Catholic Radio in Alabama, had reactivated their daytime English frequency some weeks ago on 15610. But October 12th at 1912, after it supposedly signs on at 1900, it was not there, although neighbor signals were coming in well, 15825 from Tennessee and 15555 from Florida, as well as others. But on October 18th at 2226, when I checked, 15610 WEWN was back on the air, with squeal. We never know whether WRNO New Orleans is running overnight or not, but I usually check for it, such as October 19th at 0635, no signal on 7505. I had not been checking for it earlier from their usual start time, 0100, but Ron Howard says on October 18th, WRNO, I believe this has been off the air for 3 days now. Scott Fibish, as well as a DXer in Rochester, New York, is a professional radio consultant, and he has this to say on the IRCA list October 13th about so-called HD radio. Here's what I tell my clients when they consider whether to use it. Given that the radio is dead as a commodity item for home use, the audience we're talking about is in cars. About half of all new cars come with HD as a standard feature, and depending on the market, the total car HD penetration is anywhere from 15 to 35% right now. I emphasize to my clients that you're now reaching your audience in a variety of splintered ways. Streaming matters, non-linear digital, podcasting matters, apps matter, and broadcast still matters too. HD is one piece of that mix. If your audience is in new cars, you want HD especially on AM, so you can do all the things with ancillary data, such as album art, title and artist, etc., that all your competitors are sending to the dashboard. Xperi is pushing new dashboard technology that will link stations' on-air signals to their streams for a seamless experience as listeners move around. Those require HD to work, whether AM or FM. Having said that, most AM stations these days are barely afloat. and the cost of going HD in MA1 or MA3 mode is going to be beyond their means. So don't expect many stations to go all digital. For better or worse, it's going to be only a small minority. And so as a DXer, Scott Fibish says, it's not something I'd stay up at night worrying about. There are much bigger issues beyond HD that will doom a lot of AMs over the next decade or two. Mike Terry forwards a story from Radio World, 13 October, by Paul McLean. FCC confirms huge fine against Radio Impacto Dos, a record pirate radio fine of $2.3 megadollars against operators of an unlicensed station in New York City. Cesar Ayora and Luis Angel Ayora never replied to its notice of apparent liability issued last March. The FCC says the Ayoras are guilty of the long-standing illicit operation of an unauthorized radio station known as Radio Impacto Dos on 105.5 megahertz in Queens. Some of the most egregious pirate radio operations are run by individuals who've ignored prior enforcement actions by the commission, the FCC wrote. This is one such case. It merits the strongest possible enforcement measures to the fullest extent of the law. This and another in Oregon are the first fines proposed under the PIRATE Act, which became law more than 3 years ago, providing for much bigger penalties than in the past. The Ayoras even advertised their pirate radio station for no less than 25 weeks and continue to operate their unauthorized station to date. There's an Ecuador connection. The website of Radio Impacto Dos calls it the official radio of Ecuadorians in New York and gives the impression of a substantial operation with studios in New York and Ecuador. Their About Us page says the brothers Cesar and Angel Ayora in September 2008 founded the first Ecuadorian FM radio station in New York City. In 2016, we expanded coverage by switching to 105.5 FM, identifying us as the official radio station for Ecuadorians in New York, the station that never sleeps, because a team of communication professionals are working for you 24 hours a day, offering you the best programming and all the latest in music, news, sports, entertainment, and more. Sad news from North Carolina, an ex from Teak Publishing says, we are sad to announce the passing of our co-founder, husband, and father, Larry Van Horn, N5FPW, after a brief illness. This was dated October 9th, 2023. Of course, he was also involved with Monitoring Times and the Spectrum Monitor. Our condolences to the family. More about this at the blog of SWElling.com. Ron Howard and I are still hearing Radio Vanuatu on 9960 until it goes off about 0659. On October 18th, I said, I don't think they make any retuning announcement, do they? Leaving listeners hanging unless they be DXer-like in the know about what's next. Ron Howard replies, you are correct. 9960 never gives a closing announcement at 0658. Normally they are in the middle of promos, ads, PSAs, when the transmitter suddenly goes off in mid-sentence. About 10 seconds later, they are on 3945, picking up again in mid-sentence with no intro announcement. The propagation outlook from SWPC. Geomagnetic field reaching active levels on November 1st and 9th, with ANK indices peaking at 12 and 4. Otherwise, mostly 8 and 3 or 5 and 2 through November 11th. Solar flux down to 135 October 23rd, and up to 150 October 29th to November 5th, and down to 135 again by the 11th. Thus concludes World of Radio 2213, with many thanks to all our stations and contributors. Glenn Hauser here, hoping you'll hear me again next week, as I conclude with a standard disclaimer.